monster is in here. We're ready.
Right there.
Good morning. Good morning. We got a rabble going this morning. All right, we'll gather in the troops. In Isaiah 57, it says, "For this is what the High and Exalted One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Join me, and maybe we'll gather the troops in.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we will
loosen the right one. Good morning, church. How is everyone? Ah, I'm excited to see everyone here. So today, VBS meeting is being held. Jessica is still making copies for the meeting today, but it's after service today. Will be a VBS meeting. So if you're interested in volunteering, if you're interested in having your children at VBS, want more information about VBS, which is Vacation Bible School, it's happening today after service. New members class, it's coming. It's soon. No date has been assigned to it yet, but the next new members class is coming up, and Stacy will have all the information. She's feeling under the weather, or else I'd point her out. She'd be right over there. But it's going to be on the bulletin. She would be there. It's coming, and it'll be here soon. 2 weeks, 3 weeks startup date, sir? Not sure. Soon. We'll keep it at soon still. If you're a new visitor here, We'd like to get to know you a little bit better, so there's welcome cards on the little pockets behind every seat. And if you put them in the offering boxes, then the welcoming people will come to you and let you know, have any questions. We're happy to answer them. And that's today's announcements. So let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for all that you do for us. Lord, speak through Pastor. Let the Holy Spirit fill this room. Let us feel your presence. Let us put our worries behind us so we can get closer to you and worship you and get a better relationship, better understanding with you, Lord. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right,
amen.
Let's worship, everyone.
Amen. Stand if you're able.
Worship your holy name.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great. on Golgotha's tree, his death brought liberty, his death brought liberty, his death brought liberty. Forget the blood he shed.
Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Children
are dismissed.
Good morning. It's like 11:22. Good morning. All right. I know you didn't just get out of bed, right? So, all right. All right. I know some of you who went to Lovelock and rode in the van feel like you just went to bed like moments ago, but we made it back safely. Hey, just a quick praise report about what's going on in Lovelock. Obviously, we go up there and have church on Friday, but we are getting ready to start some small group stuff up there. So we're going to have, men are going to be going through the Maximize Manhood book, and women are going to be going through something, not the Maximize Manhood book, okay? Then they'll know all of our secrets, and so we can't let them. But anyway, we are going to be starting groups before service starts on Saturday. So there's forward momentum. It's really good, and we're getting ready. We're just gathering together, just loving on each other and having a good time. People are staying and talking. I mean, we didn't leave last night until late, because we were just talking and having a good time. And yes, I know a lot of that is me, but I'm not the only one to blame. I did get blamed for some stuff last night that I just have to put it out there that many of you know. You guys have coined the phrase Tommy time. This is very not cool. Like, I feel like, but it... Why is this? You people need to be prayed for. That's what we're gonna do. The Bible talks about being. You're supposed to be a pleasure for me to be your pastor, and I just, you know, just kidding, just kidding. The shoe fits both feet. All right, it's fine. But here's the thing. Thankfully, apparently now Lovelock now knows that. I was hoping to get a little more time out of this whole deal before, you know, but no. Anyway, so it really is a good time. It's truly family up there, and just seeing God is starting to do some stuff. He's been doing some stuff up there, but he's starting to do some stuff. I'll just share as we can, but he's doing some stuff inside of relationships and marriages and just different things like that. So it's very... very exciting, because isn't it always exciting when God starts to heal something that's broken, right? Isn't it? Yeah. And so here's the thing. How many things in your life have been broken because you broke them, right? A lot. How many things in your life have been broken because somebody else broke them? Probably also a lot, right? But here's the truth. So we're going to talk. We're getting close to the end of Romans here. We got probably two more weeks. We're going to be in Romans 16. We're going to be in a few verses here, but last week we talked about the greetings and everything, and about all of our diversity and how all the diversity God has intended for us, that diversity to cause unity inside of the church, this, that, and the other. And you remember, we have to greet one another. We got to greet one another with a holy kiss and this, that, and the other, and we've got to be brotherly and sisterly, and we got to love one another. And so Paul's been pushing and encouraging and commanding us to greet each other, love one another, look out for one another, and put others before yourself. All this kind of stuff is what he's been getting to, and he's been speaking about. Well, right here in 16, we'll talk about whether some parts are supposed to be in this chapter or not, but he's been saying all these greetings and all these things, and then we get this warning. We'll get to some more greetings next week. But he gives us this warning. In this warning, he implores us. He commands us. And so we kind of like, what? Like, if you read this wrong, you're like, well, where does this come from? Well, this comes from, here's the thing. When we're really, you ever been taken advantage of because you're kind? Right? Some of you are like, nope, never happened to me. Maybe you're the one we're getting ready to talk about, right? But you've been taken advantage of because you're kind. And we know that the scripture, there's a certain degree that we have to do that. We have to let people take advantage of us to a certain degree. That'll be a different sermon one of these days. But you're supposed to give of yourself for your brother and your sister, right? The Bible goes on to talk about, hey, it's better for you to be wronged, right, for the advancement of the gospel, for your closeness in Jesus Christ, for these types of things. So it's better to be wrong than to stand here and be like, oh, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. So there is some of that. But he gives us this warning that we are to watch out, what we are to watch out for, because he says, here's the thing. Now that you guys are loving one another and you're encouraging one another and greeting one another and drawing close in these relationships like they've commanded you, be careful. And so we're going to get through some of that, why we're supposed to be careful, and especially when we're loving on one another. But it's very good purpose. I got a new preaching Bible here, so there's no marks or anything in it yet. It's laid out a little bit different. It worked out so well, pretty well last night, so we'll just keep going with this Bible. My old Bible just like falling apart, and so pages are falling out, and it just barely hanging on by strings. So anyway. This is the CSB, so it's really close to the Holman. Trying to find one of the Holmans, like my old Holman, my other Bible is an old Bible, so this is in the CSB, which actually just works out better for all this kind of stuff and all that anyway. So long story short, if you'll stand while we read God's Word together, we're going to start in verse 17. If you're there, say amen. All right. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who create divisions and obstacles contrary to the teaching that you learned. Avoid them, because such people do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting with smooth talk and flattering words. The report of your obedience has reached everyone. Therefore, I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and yet innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Father, we come before you today, Lord, and we just ask. We ask that you would guide us, that you would lead us, that, Lord, you would lead us into all truth, that you would point us and lead us to your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would give of your life on the cross for me. But, Lord, we praise you that you took your life back up again, and you reign victorious over death and over every obstacle. And so we praise you and we thank you today in your mighty name. Amen. Please have a seat. All right. So here we go. On mission, we're finishing up our mission emphasis. Here's the mission of the church, one of the missions of the church. And today, on mission, on guard. Right? It is our mission of the church to be on guard. There are certain things we have to be guarding for. Paul actually calls us here. He urges. And so you ever urge somebody, been like, oh, just come on, please? Or have you ever really wanted something and how it sounds a little different, right? Anybody got a five-year-old at the house who really wants something? Right? Every, like, 2 seconds, as soon as the last syllable of the sentence is out, they start the sentence again, right? They're really urging, they're really begging, they're really pleading. Well, Paul is pleading. He's saying, listen, I urge you, I exhort you, I want you to do this, I need you to do this, you need to do this. And so he's talking to the brothers and sisters, and this is what he says, to watch out. The first point is to watch out. We are to be on guard. A part of our mission as a church, to be on guard, is to watch out. We need to watch out. There's some people, and here's what's interesting. There's some people who are set on destroying the church, who are set on destroying God's work, who are set on destroying the things that God is doing. And guess what? They come into the church. And so when he says, watch out, he says, watch out for those who are inside the church. Listen, right here, he says, watch out for those who create divisions. So he's talking to the church about the people inside the church who cause divisions. This first point is about they cause divisions. Now, some division is necessary. Here's the thing. Why are we a church? Because that word church is used for a lot of different denominations or a lot of different belief systems, but we are clearly divided where? According to 1 Corinthians, the division that takes place is Christ Jesus, right? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. The only division that should take place inside the church, the only division should be, listen, do you follow Christ or do you not? Is the cross foolishness or is it life and salvation? That's the only division. Now, there's other divisions that are healthy as well. Here's the thing. We talked about small groups, right? Small groups are a good form of division. We need to be in small groups. We need to be with other people. If the pandemic didn't teach us anything other than, guess what? We need each other. God has created us for relationships. We have relationships with one another because these are supposed to be relationships, and how we form these and how we grow together as a reflection of how our relationship with Christ, with God the Father, is. The Ten Commandments, you split them in two. They are how to relate to God and how to relate to your brother and sister. That's how you split the Ten Commandments. It's all about relationship. And so there are some divisions that are okay. We need to be gathering together in small groups because here's the thing. We don't belong to a church where everybody gets up and say whatever they want during church. But in a small group, as you're doing Bible study, as you're doing these things, guess what? You need to ask questions. You need to get to say things. You need to have input as well. This is why we do Bible studies. This is why we have other things. And so this is not the division they're talking about. But there are people who will try to start their own groups or whatever because of the division that they want to cause. They want to destroy what's being taught. They want to destroy these other things, which we're going to get into these. And so they're causing division. So there are people who are trying to cause division. Now, here's what happens. They start teaching contrary, and they try to get you against the church, against the pastor, against the teachers, against all of these other things that the church has set up. And they make statements like this. Oh, well, the church doesn't do it right, or they're not doing it my way, or here's the thing, I this, and I this, and I this, and they split. So come be a part of my group, right? And so they create a division, and they draw you away from the church. And so it's a division. It's an unhealthy division. Now, here's the thing. Are you going to be comfortable in every single small group and every single? No. That's why we have small groups, not cliques, small groups. So we have different Bible studies. Here's the thing. The men meet here on Wednesdays. The ladies meet at our house on Wednesdays. You know why? Because women are different. I was going to call you weird, but you're just different. You know? Right? I mean, so different, we didn't even get invited to the last food thing. I'm not holding grudges. I'm not holding grudges or anything, but we're different. And they're good different. Here's the truth. Those kinds of divisions are good because guess what? Men need to study with men and women need to study with women. Not every time, not all the time, not right. This is not the only division, but there's a good thing, right? Good thing. Men, you're not ladies. You're supposed to lead. Ladies, you're not men, right? Here's where you're supposed to submit to the leadership of your husband, right? That's hard. When the Bible clearly lays things out, there has to be some different divisions, right? There has to be some different divisions. What does Paul in Timothy, what does he tell? Men, this is what you do. Ladies, this is what you do. The Bible lays it out. And so there are divisions, but divisions that do not divide doctrines, ethics, these different things that we all have to be united on, no matter how our groups or how our church has these healthy divisions. So watch out for people who cause unhealthy divisions. Watch out for people who create obstacles or pitfalls. Depending on your translation, the CSB says create divisions, and then it says obstacles, contrary to the teaching. Anybody's translation say pitfalls? Instead of obstacles, it says pitfall. All right, okay. Well, it's meaning the same thing. Now, what's a pitfall? Pitfall is something that's been dug, so you what? Fall into it, right? So that you fall into it. And so these obstacles and these pitfalls, when we have certain doctrinal and ethical norms that we must follow, right, that has been established by the Bible, there's certain obstacles and pitfalls that these people, these false teachers, these wolves in sheep's clothing that they put in front of you so you fall into the hole. Or that, guess what? You have to climb over something and you get to this whole thing that you can't achieve what's biblically true and what's biblically sound. You remember in Galatians, Paul's dealing with a bunch of this. Okay, it's Jesus and circumcision. Right? Here's this whole other obstacle. Well, you couldn't really be saved unless you believe in Jesus and you go and get circumcised. Form a line, gentlemen. We're going to walk right out this door. And your salvation isn't real until we go outside, right? And you'd be like, you are nuts. But they were doing this. And so they were taking things that were established, things that were taught, things that God said to do for very specific reasons. And they were saying, oh, no, this is how it now applies to your freedom in Christ Jesus. And so you couldn't really be free in Christ unless you started what? Putting yourself back into bondage. These false teachers do the same kind of thing. They create obstacles and pitfalls, but and they say different things, and it comes out in a lot of different ways. But here's the intention of it. Their intent is for you to need them to either help you over the ladder or out of the pitfall. The intention of a false teacher is for you to need them, not for you to depend on Christ, not for you to depend on God, not for you to call out to the Holy Spirit, not for you to go to the Word, but for you to need them. Let me tell you what the Scripture actually means. Let me show you how you actually have to. Let me show you, not let's come together, let's ask the Spirit for guidance, not anything like that. It's let me. They're people who are trying to make disciples of themselves. Oh, I want you to be my disciple. I want you to learn from me. The Bible's very clear. Don't be too quick to teach, right? Because you're going to be held to the truth of the Bible. Now, that should make us afraid. Because I don't know about you, but there's certain times where I just kind of get lazy. There's certain times where I kind of get a little bit arrogant. There's times where I just don't want to be what I'm supposed to be. And so if I just go on my own, that makes me very dangerous. These people, they want you to follow them. They create obstacles and pitfalls so that you have to come to them. They don't encourage you to seek Christ first. They don't encourage you to seek God first. Instead of going to prayer, they have you trained to a way you go to them in a phone call or a text message. If you go to your quote-unquote confidant, if you go to your quote-unquote mentor before you go to Christ Jesus, before you go to the Holy Spirit, before you go to the Word of God, and those in conjunction with one another, it's not necessarily that they're a bad teacher. Maybe you're what? Maybe you're too dependent on them. But a good teacher will ask you, well, what does the Word say? What is God showing you in prayer? Why did you call me first? In a loving way. Don't call me first, go to the Bible, right? That's a loving way. No. These people say, oh, I'm so glad you called me because now let me show you. Listen, they create pitfalls and obstacles. You know why? Because they serve themselves. This is what he says. Watch out for these people who do these. Watch out for people who serve themselves. Now, he's not just talking about the people who, like, get in line first. Like, when we have a potluck, right? You're like, man, that guy he's just hungry, right? There's some of you skinny guys that you need to get up there first, okay? Like, I mean, he's not talking about that. What he's saying here is they don't serve the Lord. Cranfield says this. This expression is used in the sense of serving oneself, of being the willing slave of one's egotism. Anybody who mars the unity or harmony of the local church does not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of his or her claim. Their interests are put above the interests of the church. Listen, the things that they want, the things that they... Right? It's not about your need. It's not about anything. It's about their interests. It's not about what the church is doing or the unity of the church or the harmony of the church. They don't encourage you to, hey, why don't we go to the church? Why don't we do things in the church? Why aren't we part of the church? How are we part of the church? No, it's just you and me. I want you to follow me. I'll be your leader. They serve themselves because, again, they want disciples. They want to be the ones who taught you. They want to be the ones who brought you to Jesus or to this truth or to that. They put themselves in the place of the Holy Spirit. It's what they do. It's because they're interested for themselves. They're building their own kingdom, not the kingdom of God. They're saying, man, this is harsh. This is what we have to be watching out for, because these people are coming inside the church. I'm not saying right now, all right? Just don't start looking around being like, mm. Because there's a way that he calls us to watch out. But listen, these people, they serve themselves. Their interest is what's always first. How about this? You ever hear this? Well, the church hasn't helped me. The church isn't doing this for me. Do you know the church isn't here for you? The church is here so we can worship God. The church isn't here to worship you. Not sorry. We're here to worship God. And if we put ourselves before, we're worshiping ourselves. It's idolatry in its most basic form. You're sitting on the throne. You want to be worshipped. You want people to bow down to you. They serve themselves. And so they create these obstacles. They create these pitfalls. They create these divisions. They try to separate you. You know what happens when packs of animals hunt? They cause a division. They create obstacles where you have to go this way. You have to do this. You have to do that. And so what? So that they can kill you. So they can destroy you. So they can eat you. Why? Because their bellies. They serve themselves. Their belly is their appetite. That's what it is. They're trying to fill their belly. They're trying to feed themselves. It's exactly what it is. This is the point. This is their whole intention. Now, here's the deal. They're smooth talkers and they're flattering. And I don't know about you, but if this big old meat, how many of you have seen a wolf? Right? How many of you have seen a picture of a wolf? He's got blood on his lips, right? Like he's like, he's been eating something. Here, puppy. You wouldn't do that. Because you're like, that dude has been eating something, and if he comes near me, he's snarling, he's gonna bite me too. He's going to take a chunk, and I know I can't outrun him, right? Nobody would be like, here, puppy. No, these guys are smooth talkers. They're flatterers. They seem to say all the right things because they've disguised themselves. The Bible calls them wolves in what? Sheep's clothing. Because you're not going to call that wolf over to you when he looks like that. They don't look or act outwardly like a wolf. They look like a sheep. They play the part. Especially in the context of, hey, greeting one another with a holy kiss. They're coming together and they speak nice words to you. They all these types of things. And you're like, well, wait a second. How are we supposed to know if they seem like a good guy? Because the next part is avoid them. The next point he brings us to, okay, so watch out for these people, but then he says, avoid them. Now, here's the hard part in avoiding them. Don't argue with or try and convert them. How many of you like to argue? Just put it up. How many of your spouses like to argue? We'll get more hands for this. Right, yeah, that's what I thought. The Bible says to avoid them. Don't try to argue with them. Don't try to convert them. Now, here's the thing. They will leave when they know that they have no prey. Avoid them. Just avoid them. Don't try to convert them. Don't try to argue with them. They'll leave when they ain't got nothing to eat. They'll leave when there's no longer a hunt. They'll leave when this happens. When there's no more prey, they will go. And you may be thinking, well, Ephesians 5:11 says, expose them. Right? We're supposed to expose them. You're absolutely right. But you know what Ephesians 5:11 starts with? Do not participate or partake or be any part of the evil deeds. When you try to argue and you start to engage and you start to try to get into all of this, you start to participate and you start to try to do something that is not your actual job. Expose them, be like, oh, that ain't right. But guess what? We, again, are not the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says to avoid them. It's okay to be like, no, that's not right. That's not right. Now, this is not go and talk bad about them. Exposing them doesn't mean talking bad about them. Doesn't mean you go and you start spreading gossip, a whole different type of gossip, and you make the statement, oh, well, it's true. We are not to slander one another. Exposing them is different because what you're exposing is the evil deeds, not the person. You ever been wrong in something? Ever? And if you're exposed as a heretic or a false prophet or a false teacher and they kicked you out of a church because you made a mistake, this is why the deed is to be exposed, not the person. Expose the deed. Expose the division. Expose that. Hey, why are you creating a division? That's not right. Right? Right? So you expose the deed, not the person. You don't just start running around and calling everybody a heretic. If we started calling everybody who didn't agree with us a heretic, there'd be a whole lot of heretics in this world. And if they get the same freedom which you get, you'd be a heretic too. There's a lot of stuff that we will not agree on. He's not talking about that kind of stuff. He's talking about the doctrinal truths, the ethical norms, the things that the Bible clearly makes known for us to obey, for us to study. And so we don't have to worry about, listen, we don't have to worry about making sure we get rid of them. You avoid them. They will leave when there's no more prey. So here's the next part. How do I avoid them? Well, first of all, don't be prey. Don't be prey. They're like, well, wait a second. You call us to encourage each other. You call us to edify one another. You call us to share burdens. You call us to do this, right? Don't be prey. The Berean Literal Bible says this, hasten to show thyself approved to God, a workman not ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. How do you not become prey? Well, here you go. Grow in discernment. This is what Paul tells us to do. Don't become prey. Don't be prey. Grow in your discernment. Right here, to obey. Excuse me. Verse 19, it says, the report of your obedience has reached everyone. Okay, so to obey. So he speaks of their obedience. Everybody's talking about their obedience. In fact, in verse 8 of chapter 1, in the opening of the letter, he says, listen, your faith is being talked about everywhere. And so they're being obedient to the faith. They're being obedient to the gospel. And so he calls them to grow in discernment because what he says here, he's going to tell them to seek wisdom. He's going to tell them to be wise and yet innocent. And so that takes discernment. And some of you are like, well, discernment is a spiritual gift. Right. But that doesn't mean it doesn't take practice. Right? How many of you ever been burnt by a hot pan? Twice. Please don't say in the same day. There takes a practice. You take the pan off the stove and you got to pay attention. And so what happens if you get lazy? Sometimes you put the thing and then you accidentally touch it again, right? So it takes discernment. It takes this whole growing. And so discernment, that true discernment, is something that only the Holy Spirit can give us like this. Now you can have some discernment outside, right? Maybe you had some discernment. Maybe you were a discerning person prior to coming to Christ. Right? Maybe you had that gift. Maybe there were certain things you could discern, and other people just like, whew, you're just, you know. It still takes practice. And so he calls them to grow in discernment. And so the first way to grow in discernment is continue to obey. Listen, he talks about their faith being spoken about everywhere. And then verse 19, he says, the report of your obedience has reached everyone. So they're continuing to be obedient to the point to where it's going out. It's not like that one thing. You know that one thing? That one thing that one church did that one time? No, their obedience, their continual obedience is being talked about. They are being an obedient and faithful church that the whole world is talking about them. Because as people come to visit and leave again, they're taking the truth of their obedience and their faithfulness to the other parts of the world. They're saying, man, that church in Rome, they love the Lord. They love you. They're praying for you. They're following the gospel. All these things, they're just going to talk about them. They're faithful. They're obedient. It wasn't that, you know what? Here's the thing. They had this great big Ferris wheel set up, and so all the kids had all kinds of fun. No, What was being talked about? Their faithfulness to the gospel, their obedience to the word of God. Not the events. Now, I'm not saying that events are bad. But if events are the focus, people are only going to talk about you as long as the event is cool. Right? What happens if you just, you know, what happens if the guy with the Ferris wheel breaks down on the way and you have no Ferris wheel? Everybody's going to come and they're not going to stay for the word of God because you promised them a Ferris wheel. And everything was built around a Ferris wheel. No, we need to be obedient to God. We need to be obedient to his word. Their faith was being talked about. They were being obedient to the gospel, to the word, and they were to endure till the end. Listen, wolves can go weeks without eating. I know I'm not part wolf. But a wolf can hunt. A wolf can physically hunt for weeks without eating. You have to endure in the word of God. You have to continue being obedient to the word of God, even when things seem like it's peaceful, like there's no attack coming. Because you never know where the devil is lurking. And you're saying, wow, now you're calling wolves devils. Yes. They are instruments of the enemy because they're coming to what? Seek and destroy. To kill. False teachers. They teach false doctrines. They serve themselves. And so we are to grow in discernment. We are to be obedient to the word of God. Wolves can go weeks without eating. Here's the next thing he says. He tells us to seek wisdom. He says, I want you to be wise about what is good. Right? I want you to be wise about what is good and yet innocent about what is evil. we're reminded of what our Savior said in Matthew 10:16. Behold, I'm sending you out like what? Sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. One of these days I'll tell you a funny tattoo story about that scripture, but here's the truth. Jesus says, listen, you're in the middle of this. There are attacks coming from all around, so you need to be wise. You need to be wise. And you say, wise as serpents, what do you, because you don't see the serpents, right? What he's talking about is you don't see serpents just running around and just jumping everywhere and just this and that, and right? They attack very carefully. When does a rattlesnake attack you? After he's warned you, right? After he's already curled up, after everything, right? He's ready to strike. And so to be wise, he doesn't just strike whenever he wants. He strikes only when he needs to strike. And so being as wise as a serpent means you have to have some wisdom. You have to have some wisdom. How do you know how to expose dark deeds? Well, you got to know what dark deeds are. You got to know how to expose them. You got to know what to avoid. And yet, innocent as doves, he says, here's the thing, be innocent of evil. Don't partake in any of that. Don't start being swayed. Don't start being persuaded. When he says be wise, he literally means being an expert in what is good. If you're so focused on doing what's right, you don't have time for evil, right? You just don't. If your focus is on being obedient to Christ and his commands and what he calls you to and seeking his will and seeking what he wants you to do, how many of you, I ask this question all the time, how many of you want to know the will of God? Well, that's way less than I thought. How many of you want to be obedient to the will of God in your life? How many of you just cry out and say, okay, God, what's next? Show me the next step. Some of you are like, man, show me the end. Don't try to go to the end. Don't try to go to the end. But just pray and just ask, hey, what's the next step? God, show me what's next. What do you want me to do next? And so guess what? If you're so focused on that, you'll be avoiding the things that are evil because you're seeking what God wants. You won't be seeking what the enemy wants. So be an expert in what's good. Well, how does that happen? Through your study and your prayer time. God will always take the word and apply it. If you just read the word of God and never pray and never ask God to show you, never ask God to speak to you, never ask God to apply it, you'll have a whole bunch of head wisdom, but you won't have any spiritual wisdom. And if you just pray apart from the word of God, your heart will deceive you. and you'll think that everything that comes into your head is from the Spirit. And trust me, it's not. The two work together. And it doesn't have to be, man, I got to read 14 chapters today for the Lord to tell me something. No. Just get into His Word, get into His presence, get into prayer, and ask Him to show you. Man, He might have a word for you. You read a scripture and you're like, oh, I need to be careful with my tongue. And if you're like, okay, Lord, now how do I do that? He'll keep you going. He'll keep teaching you. He'll keep showing you. And if you stay in that path, in His presence, He'll show you where your tongue isn't being obedient. That is just an example. That's not the only thing God might say to you. That might have been some rhema for somebody. But the truth is, in His Word, in His presence, in prayer, if you just read, now here's the thing, if you're just like, oh, I got to read this morning, you just start reading and you don't ask the Lord to show you, if you're not open for it, if you're just trying to do something because that's what the pastor said to do, just stop. Just stop for a minute. Be like, pastor told us today, stop reading the Word. No, it's not. Just listen. Listen to the rest. Stop just trying to mark something off of your deal. Well, pastor said, you know, it's good to get through the whole Bible. It is. You need the whole counsel, right, of God, right? But you don't have to do the whole Word today. What's most important is, what is God applying? How is He applying His Word to you today? And guess what? That'll come from anywhere from Genesis to Revelation. Anywhere in there. Just get your Bible, get a pen, get a notepad. Be wise. Come to show yourself approved. Study. Walk worthy. Well, how do you know how to walk worthy? How many of you have played a sport? How many of you have done a job? How many of you have done it well? How many of you were in the military? Why did the military make you do things a certain way? Because they knew it worked. If you just do this and do this and do this and do this, it works. The end result will be what we want it to be, because you're doing this and you're doing this and you're doing this. Well, guess what? If you want a relationship with the Lord, if you want to know His will and His will for your life, and then guess what? It takes the same thing. I'm not pushing a bunch of works, but it takes the same thing. It takes endurance. It takes habitual time with Him. It takes you seeking Him. It takes you asking Him. It takes you looking. You didn't get your training. You didn't just show up and be like, oh man, I am the master of this, right? And you just walk up and everything just worked out perfect. You ever have a relationship just worked out perfect without any work? No. Of course not. And so be an expert in what is good. And this takes, listen, not just the Word of God. It takes prayer. It takes the Spirit of God. You can have the Word devoid of the Spirit. You can have the Spirit devoid of the Word. But the Spirit will always lead you to the Word, and the Word will always lead you to the Spirit, because they work in conjunction. God takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God to the people of God because of the Son of God. Like, that's how He works. They work together. How do you know what to avoid? How do you know what to run from? How do you know what's deceit? Well, here's the thing. You're walking so close with Jesus, right, that anything that's off, it doesn't make you, here's the other part of walking with Jesus, it doesn't make you start shouting, you're wrong, you're a hypocrite, you're this. It doesn't make you start shouting that. It makes you what? Test the spirits. It makes you, see, the whole point in all of this is humility. Humility. You don't just run and just go in your own strength. You don't just run. No, no, no. You're humble before the Lord. You're humble in His presence. And so you seek. And so when something seems wrong, you start something like this. Okay, Lord, this doesn't seem right. Because I don't know about you, those of you who always have to be right, those of us, I'll rephrase that, those of us who always have to be right, you notice how you're always quick to speak? There's just this little marker, just this little something, and you're ready to just fire off with whatever is true. Have you ever misheard something? People say, that is not what I said. Oh, Well, hang on, my foot's in my mouth now, because I fired off before I understood what was actually happening here. Being wise is so much more than just having some knowledge. Being wise is about humility. It's about the knowledge. It's about the humility. It's about the presence. It's about being His. He's the master. You're the servant. And so, if you go and you speak for, you go and you speak for your boss, okay? Maybe you're the boss, so you can. But if you go and you speak for your boss, and you just start promising the customers just kind of anything they want, you probably won't have a job for too long, I'm guessing. But when the boss comes to deal with that person and, your employee here told me that not only were you going to do this, but, you know, you were going to add on to my house and you were going to do this all for the same price. He'd be like, that is not happening. I didn't say that. See, you're only allowed, here's the truth of the scripture. We're only allowed to say what God tells us to say. What God has led us in when He tells us. And many of us want to be like, no, we have to. No, what we have to do is be obedient to God. To be obedient, because here's the thing. Has anybody ever said something wrong and the Spirit has said, here's the deal, it's not time for that. Because if you fire off at them, you're going to make them what? Walk away and leave. And they won't actually come to the truth. I remember talking with a guy who still had a bunch of sin in his life. And he comes to the Lord and he still has a bunch of sin in his life. And the old legalist in me just says, you know what? You ready. Just ready to just say, you know what? You can't do that. That's not what a Christian does. Thankfully, the Spirit of God is more powerful than I. He's like, whoa, stop. You let me deal with that. You share truth when it's time. You listen to me. And so my job wasn't to tell them all the things that they're supposed to be and all of the end goal that Christ has for them. Because remember, it's God's choice, decision, work, power that conforms us to the image of Jesus, not mine. And so if I would have told him all the stuff he was still doing wrong, he would have been like, okay, so this thing is all about a bunch of works, and that's never worked for me before. See, if we just push a bunch of works and a bunch of stuff that we know, listen, we can just come to the simple truth that when we come to Christ and He starts to purify us, we will start to be purified. When He talks about welcoming them and encouraging them and carrying burdens, you don't just run around. You don't just run around and decide that for everybody. No, you serve the Master. Because you don't tell His customers, you don't tell His people, you don't tell His children what He is or should be doing for them. You do and say what He tells you to do and say. Because you don't know where He has them and what's most important on His agenda, not yours. And so He says, be wise. Seek wisdom. He says, seek what is good and innocent about what is evil. Hey, man, it's okay to shelter your kids. You don't have to let your kids experience all kinds of wicked stuff so that they'll actually be able to follow the Lord. That is not a wise choice. When we grew up, I had a friend whose parents had this philosophy, and they said, here's the thing, if you ever want to drink or do drugs or anything, we want you to come to us. We will do this stuff with you to make sure that it's in a safe and controlled environment. As a parent, I was like as a kid, you're like, wow, those are cool parents. As an adult, as a parent, you're like, those people should be locked up. You don't have to let your children, you don't have to let yourself experience evil to know what good is. We just have to be so focused on Christ that we'll know anything that is not Christ. You know how they train people to know counterfeit money? They don't give them counterfeit money. They give them the real thing. And so they have so much experience, they have so much knowledge, they have so much time with the real thing. When anything fake comes across, they just know that there's a difference. And so they investigate. Okay, something's not right here, so what is it? And so they start the investigation process, and they say, okay, well, this doesn't seem right, this doesn't seem right, and they work through it, right? And when they can clearly identify it, then they call it out. That's how it works. If we are so in love with the Lord and so seeking and spending our time, our prayers, the things that we have, all of that in relationship with Jesus Christ, trust me, you'll know when something that is not Christ-like. You'll know when a false teacher comes. You'll know when a divisive person comes. You'll know when somebody's putting a pitfall in front of you. You'll know that because you're walking with the real thing, Jesus Christ. You'll know. You'll know. Lastly, he leads us to this. He reminds us of something good. He reminds us, he tells us to praise God. Verse 20, the God of peace, right? This is who God is. He's God of peace. See, this is where the humility, this is where the trust in him. The God of peace will what? Soon crush Satan under your feet. Right? Satan's already defeated. We need to praise God. For all of this, we need to be obedient to this, and we need to just start praising God because Satan is defeated. Why do we trust in the Lord? Because you couldn't defeat Satan. Only Christ could. How do you do this? How do you deal with all of this? Well, start praising God because guess what? He's the one who defeated Satan. And so this terminology that he uses here, Satan will soon be crushed under your feet, he's taking us all the way back to the garden. In Genesis 3:15. Remember what he told Adam and Eve? Hey, listen, you're gonna, he might harm your what? Heel, but what? Crush his head. Now, Adam didn't leave there thinking, oh man, I'm just gonna go around and start stomping on snakes. Adam understood that this was done, or this was going to be done, the victory was Christ. The defeated was Satan because of Christ, because of God. And he tells them, I will put hostility between you and between the woman and between your offspring and between her offspring. He will strike you on the head and you will strike him on the heel. And so when he was talking to the serpent in Adam and Eve's presence, he said, hey, my boy, my son, you're going to strike his heel, but he will stomp on your head. And so Paul says right here, listen, praise God. There's these false teachers, there's these people coming to cause all of these problems, but we need to praise God because soon Satan will actually be crushed. And when we look at that soon, we're like, okay, how soon? How soon? Because how long ago was this written? Long before any of us were born. And so we're like, okay, how soon? Well, the soon means at God's timing. Because it's already done. You see, he's taking us back to Genesis 15 because when God said it, it meant it was complete. And when was it complete? When Christ rose from the dead. When Christ went to the cross and he paid for all of our sins. He paid for all of this. And then he rose from the dead. Satan was defeated. And so there's a time where he's going to come and get his people. There's a time where we will be with him. Our salvation will be complete. And Satan will be completely crushed. And he says that time is soon. Soon. Man, if you make it to 100, right, that's a long life, right? 100, I don't know, 90-something. That's a long life. In the picture of eternity, it is what? A vapor. A vapor. It's not even a deep breath. Right? It's just a vapor. And so when we look at soon, we got to quit putting our time on it. It's God's time. When will that happen? When God says, it's done. So he's not telling us that, here's the thing, that soon, like in your lifetime, in 10 minutes, in an hour, before you die, he's just saying, listen, at God's time, it's already done, it's already defeated. Soon, just walk in him, start praising God. Turns it back to the God of peace. He's the one crushing the enemy. And then he says this. Satan is defeated. And he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And so we praise God because Satan is defeated, and we praise God for his grace. Excuse me. For his ongoing grace. Has God stopped showing you grace yet? No. Well, I mean, just look at every day of your life. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't get through your day. God has not stopped showing grace. And so when Paul says, right here where he's saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you, he's not saying that, you know what, it's not something that you had. He's saying, listen, God will continue showing you grace. He wants you to keep your eyes on the grace of the Lord. So we praise God because Satan is defeated. By who? By God. Satan's defeated by God. Okay, the victory's won, but guess what? You ever be on a winning team and you're like, man, I wasn't really part of the team. I wasn't really, you know, I don't really deserve. Right? No, this is completely different. We will not defeat the enemy. That's done in Christ. He brings you into this and he just keeps showing you grace and keeps pouring grace out on you. He just keeps doing it and keeps doing it. So he says, here's the thing. Trust in me, the battle's already won. But all of this stuff, you're not a loser because I'm giving you my grace. I'm pouring my grace out on you. So you need to continue praising me for my grace. And so he calls us to praise him for his grace. Here's the truth. Times are coming and times are here. Times have always been here where men chase after things that tickle their ears. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for there will be a time when they will not put up with sound teaching, but in accordance with their own desires, they will accumulate for themselves teachers because they have an insatiable curiosity and they will turn away from the hearing of the truth, but will turn to myths. Here's a truth. The victory is Christ's. And he imputes his righteousness, he imputes his victory to you because of his grace. And so we need to be obedient to him. We need to be his servants. We need to be his disciples. We need to be following him. We need to be looking to his truth. We need to be studying. We need to be working, training, whatever you want to say it. Your whole life needs to be Christ because of his grace. And so when we come to God, we need to praise him for his grace, first and foremost. Because the victory's won. And it wasn't your battle. It was his. And there's not some great battle. Like, there's things that, oh, there's, you know, there's good and evil, and they're like, there's these equal opposing forces, right? And you're just like, oh, I hope the good guy wins. Here's the truth. There was no chance for the bad guy. There was no chance. And so he takes us all the way back to Genesis and he says, listen, the grace I bestowed on Adam and Eve in that time when I told Satan he was defeated, like, God made that promise all that time ago. And then he covered Adam and Eve's sins, right? He made atonement for them. And he said, here's my grace. Keep living. Keep living in the promise to come. And so do we keep living in a promise to come? We keep living in a promise that was fulfilled and a promise to come. Because just as Christ came and defeated him, defeated the enemy with his death and resurrection, he will come and he will take you. He will snatch us. He will get us. He will bring us with him into heaven. We won't get through all Revelation right now. He will be bound until he's destroyed or locked away. It's already his. You don't have to run around thinking that you're this mighty warrior who's going to defeat Satan. No, Jesus beat him. Jesus beat him. And so praise him for that and praise him for the grace. Application. Be so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ that when you see a false teacher, you can avoid them, but make sure, here's the thing, not just avoid them, but you can protect yourself and your loved ones in a humble way. Not in a way to destroy them. Here's the thing, if we are not prey, If we are so walking with Christ, we are so trained in his word, we are so obedient to what he's calling us to do, when those wolves come in, they won't have anything to feed on here. And they'll leave. And they'll leave. You want a perfect church? That'll happen when we get to heaven. Until then, we got work to do. Until then, we got work to do. And so our work is not to put each other down. Our work is to be in this kind of relationship. In this kind of relationship. And it'll come across. It's much easier to love somebody else when you're in love with Christ. You know how to love a sinner? Well, you have to do it in Christ. Because he's the one who loved us. While we were still sinners, he what? He died on the cross. It wasn't, he's like, once they clean themselves up, once they start doing things right, then I'll be their sacrifice. He said, no, when you were in your worst, when you were the biggest mess, when you couldn't have gotten any worse, like there was no, you couldn't clean yourself up, you couldn't done any of that, that's when he went to the cross. And when we realize that, when we realize that we can't save ourselves, we can't clean ourselves up, we can't do this apart from Christ doing it in us and for us. That's when we start. That's when we start. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Join me in prayer. Father, we praise you because the enemy is defeated. Lord, we want to just praise you that you bestow grace upon us. Lord, I do want to thank you that, Lord, we can't out-sin your grace. Father, that you would continue to be moving in our lives and in our midst and in this congregation and drawing us and to yourself and conforming us to your image and to yourself, that, Lord, we are more like what you've called us and what you've destined us to be. Father, I pray and I ask for your protection, that, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see the pitfalls and the obstacles, that you would give us eyes to see the divisions, that you would give us hearts to be wise. Lord, that you would give us a desire to flee from evil, to have nothing to do with it. Lord, to just be your children, to be your church, to be this place where people will come to know you because we are walking with you. And so, Father, we ask that you would be glorified, that you would shine your light, Lord, in our hearts and in our midst, Lord, in our church. Lord, we pray against the divisions. Lord, we pray against false teachers. We pray against those who serve themselves. Lord, and so we ask for protection as a church, but Lord, we ask that you would speak to them. Lord, that you would draw them, that you would change them, for we know that the power resides only in you. For God, you are the only one who can take a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. And so, Father, do the work that only you can do. And Lord, just use us in any way you see fit. Keep us obedient. Lord, keep us hungry. We thank you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, church. Steve is Deacon of the Week this week, but Steve is up in the box, so Derek is going to close us in prayer. Was it supposed to be Alan's turn? I don't know. Okay. Alan's not here. Alan's got some family emergency stuff he's dealing with, so just be praying for them. He should be home Tuesday or whatever, but Steve will be your Deacon of the Week 2 weeks in a row, so if he didn't do a good job last week, just call him this week. I'm just kidding. He's going to do it again this week to cover, and so Derek, would you just close us in prayer, please?